turkey season.
Yep.
Oh. Hello!
Oh, wait, that's a moose.
Turkey, like this. Hello to all you nifty nerds. I mean, hello to all you nifty nerds, gaming joystick jockeys out there in Pixel Land. This is Double Shift, the show where seasoned game industry vets, probably some, what kind of seasoning? Stuff you put on a turkey, I would guess. So some celery, salt, pepper, garlic, whatever. Seasoned game industry vets talk about how do you get your FCC license so you can operate a ham radio legally. But still before we get to that, we'll talk about video games just a little bit. Why not?
Why?
I am your host, Mikey, aka DJ Gravy Boat, along with my friend, former colleague, and currently trying to remember what we talked about last week, Danelle. Hi. Say hello, Danelle.
Hello, everyone.
Do you remember what we talked about last week? Do I remember? I do. It's okay if you don't.
Velveeta.
You got me on a technicality. We did talk about Velveeta. And we'll leave it at that.
Because I bought some, and that's all I we also have produced... everybody about.
Oh, so did you eat it?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not exciting. Speaking of not exciting, we have producer Jeff, who always remembers... He always remembers to remind me when my chair is squeaking. He's also going to remember to put our Instagram and our email right here if you're watching. And if you're listening, that's Double Shift Pod. All one word at the IGs and at the Gmails. And of course, we have our YouTube Double Shift Podcast. Check it out for full-length episodes and shorts that you can salute and or eat and or watch. On Instagram, they're called reels. So you could reel it in.
True.
You could whip it and reel it in. All right, I'll stop with the hand motions. We wanted to tell our 6 or 7 fans that we have now. We used to have 3 or 4, but I am obviously trying to keep up with the lingo so we can get more than 6 or 7 fans. I wanted to tell our 6 or 7 fans that we will be taking a short break soon after this episode, for Turkey Day. This is actually going to be the... Thanksgiving episode, kind of, so stay tuned for that in just a moment. But after our short break, after this episode, we will return with one more holiday special extravaganza cavalcade of console games and great snacks or something. We'll figure out the title later, but we will have a holiday special to wrap up the year. You better wrap up that gavel, B.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned for that. I need to figure out what our end of year holiday special is going to be, but I will. Don't worry, I'll do it the night before we record.
Oh, geez.
What do you think? What do you think, Danelle? What should it be? What? Give me one subject, and I'll go off of that.
Christmas.
You got it.
No.
You know what I was thinking actually is maybe not for all of it, but you remember that video of the brothers opening the Nintendo 64 on Christmas?
Oh,
freaking the F out. Maybe yes. It's, N64, well, I don't know, I'll figure
ooh,
it out.
Yeah.
That, maybe that's one segment. A little bit is what I give the fans, a little bit. Are you interested in today's episode at all, Danelle, or do you want to just call it now and go home?
No, I'm interested.
All right, I guess. Hoping you're going to say we're going to go home. Today's episode, this week's episode, it's blandly titled Turkey Call. Because we're going to be talking about war games. You know what I'm saying? Not the predecessor to Dungeons and Dragons that was called War Games or War Gaming. That's a tabletop game, but video games about war. And this is because Call of Duty is the Thanksgiving version of Madden. So you see what I did there? Turkey Call. It's
wow,
all right.
You're
I've done
so
better.
Smart.
Nice. Thank you. You're the only person who's ever said that. So I appreciate it.
I constantly remind you of it.
Yeah, and I always forget. You know? So each year, a new Call of Duty game seems to get released around this time, either late October or mid-November. I'm not a huge Call of Duty player, mostly because I'm terrible at those games. Danelle, I know you've watched a lot of Call of Duty. Do you play or like it or whatever?
I've dabbled.
Yeah.
My big thing is, I know this sounds really stupid, But I guess for the most part, it's because I'm used to not, I don't like playing on teams
Right.
because I always don't know who the freaking enemy is and who I'm supposed to be shooting. So I just start shooting everybody.
You
I
just
like
shoot
free
it.
for alls.
Yeah, me
I
too.
don't like team based. And so, because that's kind of what I'm used to. That's what I used to play, like
Old
originally back in the
school.
day, was just
Yeah.
like kind of like free for alls. And so then when I just start playing on teams, I was just like, I don't know who to shoot. And I know they tell you like, oh, it shows he's an enemy or it shows you're on your team. But for me, my brain, I just like, I
See
don't
thing, run,
know. Like,
shoot.
I see somebody and I want to shoot him. Like, and then
Yeah.
if I wait, then I get shot. And so I just want to shoot right away. And so I don't, it stresses me out. And I don't like it. But I used to love shooting games. Like, that is kind of like my jam, though.
Okay, that we should set up some shooting game play sessions somehow. Jeff needs to figure out that technology. They don't have technology yet that lets us play remotely on the internet, but Jeff will figure it out. I am with you. I grew up with the free for all being the main shooter, game type, and I have played games that have teams, but I like the free for all as well because it's the same thing. You see something run, you shoot it, and then you win. Or you chop it like Odd Job. But Call of Duty, I enjoyed them from time to time, and they always remind me of Thanksgiving. So I wonder what our snack segment will be today, but we'll get to that later.
Oh, I'm curious now too.
Black Ops 7 just came out, or as the internet calls it, Blops 7. And I played a little bit of that because that is on Game Pass, sponsor us, day one. And now listen, I want to be nice on this show. I don't want to come out here and slam games or give bad reviews, especially newer ones. Older ones that are ridiculous, of course, I'll talk about. But newer ones, enough people on the internet talk about it. And this show is mostly a celebration of video games. As well as pointing out absurd stuff and all that jazz, but mostly a celebration. But I have to say, I really feel like they did miss the mark here with Black Ops 7, and I'm not saying anything original even here. I think it could be a good game. So, the campaign, I like the campaign when I download Call of Duty because I don't want to play with other players because I'm terrible. So some people online were complaining about the actual story. I think it's like very unrealistic and ridiculous with like giant mechs and stuff like that. I don't care. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't care about stories for the most part with video games, especially shooters. I don't think most people play Call of Duty for the, story, or but I could be wrong. There's games with good stories. I don't think Call of Duty is one of them. That's what I'm trying to say. And the writers that write Call of Duty do their job really well because it's basically an action movie, right? Like,
True.
so for me, I just want the action. Anyways, the Blops 7 campaign, it's only co-op campaign. All right, so that involves another person, which is terrible. So when you start that, it'll play this cutscene. So let's start there. The cutscene looked crazy. I mean, it like looked so real. Have you seen
I
any?
did. I've been seeing
Okay.
commercials for it on TV, so I've definitely seen what you're talking about.
Like it's too real. It was like holy monkey. It was like Uncanny Valley almost because it was like they look realer than I do. It was like flawless.
And so I hate that when the video game companies do that, put out stuff like this is not what it's actually going to look like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, it is crazy. Even on like I don't have the highest end TV, but it looked really good. And I don't know if they used AI or not for any of that stuff. Kind of looks like they did, but whatever. Kudos to the team that pulled that up. It looks good. So co-op campaign, you're put into a lobby, and I'm old and I don't play Call of Duty all that much, so navigating that lobby was difficult for me and made me sad. It took me like 10 minutes to start this campaign. So you can start it solo. But you have to like make all these settings like a private lobby and like add stuff to your if you can't just start the game. It was like what the heck? And listen, I'm a QA professional. It shouldn't be that complicated. Like yes, there's some things that you should be used to if you play it all the time, but still I was like no company should make a game that hard to start. You know what I'm saying? To start. I just want to start.
I agree.
So, anyways, you can start solo, but the AI, my chair squeaked, Jeff, sorry. The AI doesn't correct itself to see that it's just one player. So it's like super hard. Like you can't play it alone, basically. And yes, I suck at shooters, but I'm not that bad. I can get through levels in a campaign. And it's always online, and there's no pause menu, and there's no save points in the level. And I read that if there's an update, it It will update in real time and kick you from the campaign and not save it. So I didn't play.
Oh, boo!
I was in there for like an hour. I like kept losing and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I went over to multiplayer to see if they had a bot system. They did. I got kicked out of the training for inactivity, even though I was playing. That's a bug. I would bug that, by the way. That's like a critical at least.
Yeah. Horrible.
But yeah, there's a bot, which I like bots because I don't have to play with real players and I can kind of be good. And that was fine. And I liked it. I don't think I'll go back much. They have the zombie, mode or whatever. But honestly, no solo campaign, I think it's crazy. That's all I'm trying to say. They're already getting slammed for it. I'm not saying anything new, but I just had to say that. Anyways, have you played any of this one, or have you just watched it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, listen, maybe we could play a co-op campaign live on whatever technology Jeff figures out one day.
Ooh.
He just has to figure out the technology. It's ridiculous.
I'd do that, yeah. I'm down.
And I like the campaigns from time to time, like I mentioned, such as our next game, Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War. Wasn't for dramatic effect. Did you play that one or watch it? Okay. It's hard to keep up. There's one every year.
Yeah.
Cold War is hilarious to me. Don't ask me why. I find weird things funny. So I actually rented this from the library a few years ago, which, shout out local library, but I had to play it because it had Ronald Reagan in the game.
Oh, I've heard this.
Yeah. I'm not like a big Reagan fan or anything. It just looked funny to me. I was like, there's Ronald Reagan. And it did not disappoint me at all. Here's why. So this game's a few years old now, but even back then, the graphics and the cutscenes were insane. And so basically, Ronald Reagan looks way too good in the game. And I, for some reason, that just made me bust out laughing every time I saw him looking all spry and moving fast and kind of smooth skin and stuff. Moving quickly, confident, super sharp, really healthy. And no offense to Ronald Reagan, but that is not what I imagine when I think of Ronald Reagan. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think, well, I don't rightly know. Not like, we need to get this under control now. He didn't sound like that, but it was like, that's what it felt like.
Hilarious.
That's why, I don't know. I just think that's funny. I give him that treatment, that's fine. I guess they can't make him all like old and decrepit. I'm an absurdist. I just think it was absurd, and I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But the team did their homework. Mm-hmm. The first cutscene you see with Reagan in it, you see a jar of jelly beans on the table.
Oh, nice.
So that was a staple with Ronald Reagan. He loved jelly beans. He often began meetings by giving jelly beans to people. So you heard it here first. The don't do drugs guy is offering you candy. I was hoping that he would be a playable character in the game, but he wasn't.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that too. Don't.
I'm sure there's mods. I think you probably can't portray someone like that with like an N16 running around. And
actually, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm sure there's stuff that prevents people from doing that, but not the internet. I'm sure somewhere on the internet you can play as Ronald Reagan in that game. But
sure.
That game was fun. I actually beat the solo campaign back when these games had solo campaigns. Perfect rental from the library. I think the library is the best thing ever. This is just an ad for the library. I get so many
games. I know, you've always talked about the library.
Games and comics. It's not like, I do get books, but games and comics from the library, people. I mean, come on, it's a cheat code. It's a dirty little secret.
You're on to something.
Yeah, I'm on. You know what I'm off of for now? It's Call of Duty. I do have a question for you, though, now. I guess it would be Namco. Oh, I do know the answer to this, actually. I was going to ask, have you worked on any war video games? Ace Combat, does that count?
I don't know. I guess that would count. But I just scrolled through. Well, I'm going to say two things. I didn't necessarily work on it. It was already done, and they just wanted people to hop on it afterwards, like after it was already done testing.
Oh,
but
that counts.
Battlefield.
Okay. Oh, at EA, okay.
EA, and the next one you just mentioned, I did do I worked on Medal of Honor.
You did work on Medal of Honor.
But on Allied Assault, not this Airborne one.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked on that one kind of, sort of, like, near the end, too.
That counts, but hey.
That's the reason why I started liking shooters, was working on Medal of Honor, and I was like, well, this is really cool, and I had to, like, get an upgraded computer because of it, because I didn't have a computer that would play, like, actual games. My, you know, I didn't have that good of graphics and, you know, RAM and all that. And what I had certainly wouldn't play the game. So I completely got a crazy upgraded computer just so I could play it.
Nice.
And I played it for a while. I was really, really into that game. But that's when I also played the, like, free-for-alls. That's what I would play.
What Battlefield was, would it have
1942?
You're not that old.
I think it was like the very first one.
Okay, gotcha. Nice.
That's how old I am.
No, listen.
Simmons is old.
So yeah, listen, poor Medal of Honor, right? So back before Call of Duty became what it is today, juggernaut. Yeah. It's the juggernaut, mostly because of the multiplayer. The Medal of Honor series was a decent and really popular series of war games. And yeah, there was, like Danelle mentioned, there was Battlefield, Medal of Honor, Call of Duty. Those were like kind of the big three. There was maybe a few more, but Medal of Honor was like a staple in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
So I worked on Medal of Honor Airborne at EA, as some Battlefield games. But Medal of Honor was a big deal for me because, like, I played those games when I was younger, right? Like, the first one I remember was crazy, like, for the time. Even my dad was, like, watching. He was like, oh, this is, like, a crazy, like, video. This isn't, like, Mario jumping on a mushroom.
Yes, exactly. Real,
like, cool stuff, you know?
Yep.
And so now I'm working on one, and that's why, like, you know, Medal of Honor Airborne was fine, but the fact that I was working on a Medal of Honor, I was like, what a way to make a living, like, doing something that you liked growing up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Besides Jax. If Jeff could work on Jax, he would... Anyways. So it was fun to work on it until we got the build an absurd amount of times for one reason or another. And this, listen, kids that want to get into testing, that happens all the time. You're going to be playing the same level over and over, and that sure could be a chore, especially that first level when you have to get a new build and start over. It's like that first level where you're like, and you know it like the back of your hand. And anyways, still a chore that I welcomed as a way to make money. So I've done house chores before, and I still do house chores, and I don't get any money. So listen, getting paid play. Go ahead.
Yeah, I worked with someone that it was
did housework.
No, but it was like her first, like, I don't even know, 2 or 3 days, and she was like, I didn't realize it was going to be like this.
Oh,
and
my
she,
God!
She couldn't stand the monotonous over and over and over and over, and so she quit like within her first couple of days. And I was like, really? Like, I guess I'm the type of person, though, that, like, I can do the same thing over and over again, and it doesn't bother me. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm getting paid to do this.
Yeah. Like, no, it's crazy. There was a lot of, like, hey, I beat the game. Like, what do I do now? It's like, beat it again. Or go back and, like, do it differently. Or change your, you know, your controller settings or whatever it is. So
Yeah.
We're going to have to, you know, one of these episodes, we should get, like, glasses. I actually do wear glasses. And look like really smart and do like a QA college 101 for dummies breakdown for all the kids who are the millions of kids who are getting into QA now. Oh, it made me sad saying that out loud. It's not happening. Anyways, 10 out of 10 recommend QA job for anyone who's interested in the video game industry.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, the best. It's the best. The best people. So this Medal of Honor Airborne was unique because you played as a paratrooper in the U.S. 82nd Airborne Division, meaning instead of starting at the same spot, you parachuted into the map. Here's me parachuting. If you're listening, I'm doing the motion, and my chair is really squeaking. This is gonna.
But it's making it sound like the thing above you.
Yeah, it is.
You know, like.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm doing this for sound effects. Anyways, so that was a big thing for the time, or for the series and all that kind of stuff, like. Because you would start at a different spot in the level instead of the same spot every time. So that kind of helps, like, playing the same level over and over again. Hey, if I can start to the right or whatever, right? Anyways. Other than the parachutes, it's your standard World War II shooter. You run through streets, buildings, hideouts, and whatnots. Don't forget the whatnots. And you shoot the enemies. You destroy AA guns. You shoot enemies on the way. You get different weapons. You use those weapons. Shoot enemies. There's nothing remarkable or amazing, but it's fun. And the first run I had on testing it was a few good days at work for sure. And then the game was pretty buggy, which was good for our bug count. Mm. And don't worry, though. The game may have been buggy when we were testing it, but when the game came out, it was also buggy. So So I remember getting a lot of patches for Medal of Honor Airborne, and it wasn't for lack of trying. I mentioned our high bug count. It's just the way it was sometimes with those big AAA titles. You got to get them out. Get them out the door.
Yeah. Especially multiplayer type of games like that, too. You don't know how people are going to play, and then people together, and different types of internet that they're using. And just,
exactly.
That was one of the things we had to do with Battlefield, is they were so worried about getting people together in a server. So we had, like, the max at the time, I don't remember what it was, but, like, they tried to get a certain amount of people to get, well, it was like they wanted to get, like, 64 people together, and then, like, oh, man, that didn't work, like, broke the server. And then we had to try and get, like, another amount of people together, because you don't know, so, but you had to, like, everybody had to, like, whatever game you were working on, everyone stop and try and jump in the server on the same game, because you don't normally test like that. It's like you're saying it's a single person just testing something, and if you want to do multiplayer, it's a completely different experience, and so many different more bugs can arise, for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's almost endless with the multiplayers.
Yeah.
Especially with those LAN cables back in the day. You got to unplug those LAN cables.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I remember day one patch was a term I learned at EA, for sure. So, and yeah, I think most of the bugs with this was multiplayer. I don't remember testing multiplayer for this game that much. I think they stuck me on single player just to get through the missions. It's probably because they don't even want to see me in their server, son, with my skills. Even though I forgot I mentioned that I suck at these types of games earlier. Damn it. So yeah, no, that's not where they stuck me on. They need, you know, they always need someone to focus on single player, and then they have a multiplayer team and all that kind of stuff. And I think I was just on the single player. I don't remember. I'm like Nick. Call me Nick Wong, who listens to our show every day. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure I actually bought it from the EA store after working on it.
Oh, I loved that store. Such a deal.
Such a fat discount. Got to take advantage. I didn't often buy the ones that I worked on. If that makes sense.
Yeah, same. I don't think me neither.
But every once in a while I would. This one, because I mentioned earlier, it's like, oh, this is like a big deal that I'm testing Medal of Honor. I think that's why I bought it. And like Madden, it's like, oh, these are my childhood or whatever, you know, holding on to that dumb stuff. So. No, it's not. it probably came out around or like this time of year. I probably even saved it for Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is about these types of games during Thanksgiving. Maybe it's because the origins of the holiday are dark and brutal. So if you're gaming during this time, then it just makes sense to be dark and brutal as well. I don't know. They're mindless. The campaigns are mindless fun, and during the holidays, I like to be mindless. Do you like to be mindless? You know? No, you like being mindful.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next game. Thank you, Medal of Honor Airborne, for paying me and Danelle.
Yep.
Work on you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty dope. Our next game I actually have in my hand right here. It's called Commando. It has a price tag on it. $12.99, pre-owned. Not bad. Commando.
Oh, wow.
So that is obviously for the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System. This game, bruh. I still remember when my brother got this as a birthday gift shortly after we got our Nintendo from Katie Olympia. I remember who gave it to him. And I was probably four or five. I have a crazy memory. My family does the what that to me all the time. Yeah, Katie Olympia gave him Commando. And we played this all the time to the point where it really annoyed one of my older sisters. And so, actually, Jeff, if you can play some audio for us real quick, I'll get to the story in a second here. All right, that's probably good enough. All right, we could have got to the drums part, but listen,
catchy.
Yeah. So you hear that tune, right? Like Peter Griffin.
Yes.
So my sister would go around the house singing these words to that tune, and it could be either my name or my brother's name, John. My name is Mikey, and I am a nerd. Nerd, Mikey is a nerd.
No, she would way. Go, like she
said, yeah, she would hear that.
That's great.
So she would walk around the house and sing that all the time.
Oh, that's kind of so like, good.
In protest. And she got a lot of joy out of that. And she said that
I would too.
Yeah, she was like, dude, the music just plays over and over and over. and it bored its way into her brain. And so she had to make a tune out of it. And she sang it for years. Even if you asked her today, like, sing the Commando song, she would, like, yeah. Like, that was a staple in our
childhood. Wow, how dare you do that to her?
Listen, I've done worse. I've done worse. So, yeah, I showed you the copy. So I had to get it, like, you know, when I started recollecting my Nintendo games, because that's a different story. But I had to get it just to show her, like, hey, look what I got. She was like, oh, my God. So now she remembers it fondly, honestly, because of the number one chart-topping hit that she wrote, of course. Sadly, she did not get any royalties for it. Yeah, have you played Commando, Danelle?
Nope.
Okay. I didn't think so. It's one of those, it's hard as hell, and there's only a few levels, and of course, the levels will repeat if you get that far, but you probably won't. It's pretty simple, Danelle. You walk around. You shoot enemies, don't get shot, you rescue POWs, don't get run over by a motorcycle or by a tank or hit with a grenade, and then you take down entire stronghold buildings by yourself, and then you even take a smoke break. The 80s sure love their smoke break. That's my animated smoke break. Good old smoke break. We should take smoke breaks. But we can't. Here at Double Shift, we actually like our snack breaks, Jeff. So let's move on from Commando and give us some snack beats so we can snack dance.
I'm excited. Snack? Snack? Snacks? Snack? Snacks?
Snack? Snacks? It's my impression of Jeff right now.
I know, I was doing your impression of Jeff.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Jeff, come on camera just for this. You don't have to. All right, what are we talking about? Snacks. Snacks! For those of you who don't listen, is where we pair great, fantastic, lovely food with awesome, crazy, ridiculous video games, just like you would fancy meals with fine wine. Snacks is, of course, spelled with an X because...
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. Look at it. It's like, I'm X-Man. Don't sue me, Marvel, because...
Wow.
Yeah, that's Snacks is spelled with an X, so I could do that prop. That's why. All right, Danelle. Here we go. Turkey Day.
Yep.
A day of feast with arguably the most boring and bland of the meats. Turkey is fine. Don't get me wrong. Listen, I don't hate turkey.
It's not bland.
I just don't get that excited about it. Well, it's not...
It can be, but my mom's turkey...
Yeah, no, listen. You can make a great turkey. I'm not saying that. It's just, in general, the meat and potatoes of that meat, it's like, you know... Compared to like a brisket or a tri-tip or listen, anyways.
How dare you?
It's fine. It's good. I like it smoked. I eat a lot of turkey throughout the year, mostly ground turkey and
places. Yeah, me too. That's what I eat a lot of. Yeah.
Yeah. So to me, it's like not that exciting. I am an app and a side fan on Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
I love the casseroles, the mashed taters, and the gravy. That's why I'm DJ Gravy Boat for this episode.
I figured.
I like stuffing as well, actually, dressing in this case. My dad used to make amazing homemade dressing, all sorts of good stuff, pun intended. Usually like a premium sausage or two and like, you know, real chunks of bread and veggies, and it was just really good.
Yep.
Homemade gravy, all that kind of stuff. Fantastico. So here's, and the thing that I always struggle with on Thanksgiving, I don't know if you have this problem as well, Danelle, is I usually snack on the apps and the beer all day. Not this year for the beer, probably, which is kind of bad. Maybe I will. I don't know. Probably not. So by the time the main course is ready, I'm like, ugh. I don't eat a ton. And that's a good thing, because the star of Thanksgiving dinner, in my opinion, Danelle, let me know if you agree or disagree, is the leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
You like leftovers? Do you like the main...
I mean, I would prefer the main, I guess, because I like my food fresh and warm. Like, the very first time anything is made, it's the best. And anytime you reheat anything, it's just not the same anymore, especially trying to reheat turkey. Like, in the microwave or something, it's like it can be hard. And although some people just eat it cold on a sandwich.
I'll do that, even
which I understand. Boring, but yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the leftovers, too. But
Right. Okay. I think, especially the turkey's rough, can be, all the sides, it has a chance to get happy overnight, again, in the fridge, whatever magic happens. And there's 2.5 crucial moments when leftovers are at their best, and I'm not going to give them to you. 2.5, that's right.
Oh, okay.
First one is that night when everyone is gone. The kids are mostly settled down. It's time to watch a movie or play some video games. Or if you did manage to get a nap in that day, maybe you can do both. But this is plate time. This is a plate of leftovers. The whole leftover sandwich thing, that can come the next day. You got to have a small to medium plate at night to warm them bones and send your body into complete relaxed mode. Or was it bloating? Either way, I always forget. It's either relaxing or bloating. So the next part, so that's one. That's one. The next part is the half part, the leftover sandwich. That's fine. Not that exciting, but it's tradition. You got to do it. No cranberry sauce in mine, please.
Oh, you have to. Oh, I love it.
You know, I'm not. Listen, if I were to have cranberry on Thanksgiving, it would be juice with vodka in it. I'm not a cranberry sauce kind of guy.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
I'm not even really a vodka cran kind of guy, but if I had to choose.
Yeah. I hear that from people, though. Not everyone's favorite thing.
Cranberry. Yeah. So the last part, I don't even know how to number it, 3 or 2.5.
Yeah, what's the last part?
The crucial part of leftovers. Now, this is the best and newest tradition that my sister actually turned us on to a few years back. Okay. So what you need for this, hopefully you still have a bunch of leftover mashed taters. You should, with a family of my size, because you made a trough of them. And you'll need some corn tortillas and maybe some hot sauce, because we're making, Danelle, tacos de papas. Oh.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, Danelle, tacos de papas with the mashed potatoes. Words cannot describe how good these
are. I have no idea what this is.
Oh my God. So you're going to spread some mashed potatoes into a tortilla and you're going to pan fry it like you would white people taco night. You know, that kind of taco. And it's nice and crispy on the outside. It's hot and still really mashed on the inside. And like, I can eat 20 of them at a time.
Yeah, my mom makes those, but we like put cheese in it and green onion and then we flour it and then put it in a pan.
Absolutely. You could definitely put cheese or green chilies or whatever.
We just eat it just like that. I don't put it in a taco. Or is that
well, then it's not
about?
Tacos de papas, Danelle. Then it's just papas.
It's like starch Papa on Perel. Starch. It seems weird.
Well, Danelle, there's no such thing as rules or calories or guilt this time of year, all right? Hmm. Starch on starch on starch is fine in my problem. Only problem with the tacos de papas... Potatoes. You should try it. You don't like... Yeah. Listen, it's good. Try one, and then you'll probably thank me. Probably write me a letter. Probably get me a Christmas card. It will drain you of your mashed potato leftover supply, but that's fine, right? I mean, leftovers get old quickly for me at Thanksgiving anyway, so I'm not trying to hang on. I'm trying to move on. And
wow, I like that. I'm going to use that.
Thank you. I just listen. There's other stuff to get to. There's a lot of calories we need to squeeze in this time of year, and I have to say, I'm not a fan of turkey soup. That's another tradition. I don't know if you do the turkey soup or your mom does.
Oh, my mom does. Of course she does. I love it.
My parents, they made it every year after Thanksgiving, and it was like dinner for like 2 to 3 days after, like, you know, in a row. And I didn't like it. I was over it. I didn't hate it. Mm. I always ate what was put in front of me, but it was just so boring, and something about the smell just doesn't sit right with me. It's like, it's enough turkey oven smell, you know, for 1 week.
Aww.
Not a bad smell. It doesn't taste bad. It's just, like, not exciting. I don't know. Hmm. But we're not talking about soup. We're talking about tacos. So you could throw some turkey in there. Maybe some sausage from the stuffing. Or cheese, like you said, for sure. But the papas also, they work best on their own. Is it great with beer, Danelle? I know you were thinking that. Of course they're great with beer.
I was not, but...
we're always at double shift. We're always thinking about what is great with beer and what isn't. And the answer for what isn't is nothing. Everything's great with beer. This is the most wonderful time of year for beer that rhymes. Of course, we have the goat celebration now. I'm going to stock up on that.
That's
in
like
December.
Your favorite.
Oh my God. If I could only drink one beer for the rest of my life, it would be that. That means I would have to take 9 months off of drinking beer, and I would gladly do that if I only had to drink celebration ale.
Hmm.
There's also from Sierra Nevada one called Dankful IPA. What? Which is their, like, danky Thanksgiving IPA. I haven't seen
super
it.
Super hoppy or something, then?
It's pretty hoppy, yeah. It tastes like a pine tree. I like it. It's not as good as Celebration, but I like it. And I always, if I see it, I'll get it this time of year. Nothing's as good as Celebration, so of course this isn't. I hope they still make it because I like it. I just haven't seen it.
Which one?
Dankful. I've had a Celebration in October, so we're good. We're safe there. Yeah, your thoughts, Danelle, though? Tacos de Papas, leftovers, beer. What do you think about all that stuff before we have to do what you always forget what we must have to do?
I know. I'm with it. I like the leftovers, but I am kind of the same in a way where I can maybe do 2 days of leftovers, maybe 3. After that, I'm just like, I'm over it. No matter how much leftover, I just don't want. But I'm like that with any kind of leftovers, anything that I make. I don't usually like to eat it more than like 2 or 3 days. After that, I'm just like kind of over it. But the thing about me for Thanksgiving, though, is we used to have a lot of apps, and now we don't anymore. So I kind of like am starving the whole day until Thanksgiving comes.
Yeah.
The one thing I do every year that since a kid is the one thing we do have is olives. And I always stick the black olives on my fingers and like eat them off. That's the one thing I've always done like my entire life since I was a child.
Nice.
But those aren't going to fill you up.
No.
And so
you need a lot of fingers.
And so now by the time the meal comes, my stomach is shrank. I'm kind of, I can't eat much. I'm full. Mm-hmm. My plate size, I know I kind of got to like put, and we probably have 7, 8 different things you got to fit on like one plate. And so I have to have like a little bit of everything. And so I'm pretty full the first day. So then the second day is probably when I'll probably eat more because that first day I just didn't eat that much. Cause I'm just kind of like, I don't do a second meal like you're talking about. I don't, but leftovers and beer. I've never really, usually it's wine with Thanksgiving that we have or White Russians.
White Russians, nice.
But not beer. And why? I don't know. Well, because my mom doesn't drink beer. My mom's a wine person and White Russian too. So that's typically, I could probably bring my own, but I love beer and beer and potatoes. You're right. I mean,
talk about being full.
Beer and tacos in general. Yeah, but I mean, that's like
exactly
perfect pairing.
Do you have a favorite side? Despite me not mentioning it during this segment, mine is actually green bean casserole. My wife's green bean casserole is very, very good. But do you have a favorite side?
We didn't have green bean casserole for a long time. I forgot when my mom started making it. I don't know why she didn't, but mashed potatoes. That is my, I think that's my favorite side. There's nothing like my mom's for some reason. I always try and make it just like hers. And I've even watched her make it and I've tried to make it. And mine just never come out like hers. They come out so buttery and so not so salty, but like I tend to undersalt.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing wrong every year. Like her mashed potatoes are just so good. Nothing like all mashed potatoes.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah, that was my dad's for sure. He was the mashed guy, but Jeff was getting bored there. We were mentioning the word casserole too many times and he was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But moving on. You can edit that part out, Jeff. I swore. I don't want to swear. Edit me swearing out. All right. Danelle, we must pair this with the game. All right. You remember, right? Now you remember. Yes. We're back in the segment. All right.
Back.
So I remember renting a game on Thanksgiving called Call of Duty Big Red One. And it was Thanksgiving 2005. This was a time when I was still in college, air quotes. Still living at home. Just before I started working full time, had kids and real responsibilities. That was like kind of my last year before things started getting into place like that, like growing up. It sucks. Thanksgiving was always usually a pretty chill time for me. I think we always rented a game. Whoever was there who liked games would escape to the room and just play games all day while everyone else is like socializing and talking and drinking wine and all that stuff. And of course I had the late night gaming session complete with the leftover plate. But something awesome took place recently in my house. So I have this bin of random game consoles that used to belong to my brother-in-law and, I've ravaged it a bit. That's how I actually have the NES and the N64 that's behind me. For some reason there was like a couple Wiis in there, like multiple Wiis. I just haven't hooked it up yet for some reason. I was like, I'll get to it. And I just always forgot. You know, it's kind of buried. And then I was going through the garage and I found a copy of Simpsons Road Raids for the GameCube.
Oh, nice.
One of my, I love Simpsons Road Raid for the GameCube. From that era, it was just like, that was amazing. And then a light bulb went off in my head and I was like, oh yeah, the Wii plays GameCube games. I was like, holy, like I don't have to buy a GameCube for this, you know, right? So I hooked it up. All I needed was a memory card. So I went to the local retro store and I got one. And then I saw they had Call of Duty Big Red 1. And I was like, oh, that was the Thanksgiving thing that I rented or whatever. So I had to get it. I actually went back a couple of days later to get it. That's a long and boring story, but I thought I could get it somewhere else cheaper, and that wasn't true. So I went back to it
Oh,
and so yeah, look, here it is in the case and everything. A little shiny
Oh, how nice.
GameCube. Remember, GameCube had the small disc.
Yeah,
Got this. Pretty excited about that. Yeah. My plans are to play it on Thanksgiving night, actually. I haven't even played it
Oh,
yet. I gotta
you're waiting.
after yeah, I'm gonna after all the dust and the turkey is settled, then I will play it on Thanksgiving night. And I'm glad that it came with the box. The Road Rage copy I have is just the disc.
Oh.
The box says one of the best looking shooters to ever grace consoles. Ooh.
What? No way.
Join the Big Red One, America's most legendary infantry division, to experience the cinematic intensity and chaos of battle as never before on consoles. Battle using vehicles, including tanks, jeeps, armored cars, and half tracks. Anyways, oh, seizure warnings. Uh-oh.
That's all
Anyways,
games.
so I'm excited about that. And this was a time before Call of Duty was like the juggernaut that it is now. Like this was
Yeah.
just another game series that we mentioned earlier that was
Yeah.
just well known. Decent enough single player. I think it had probably a bunch of money at it behind it at the time, so it looked great.
Yep.
And I'm sure it so it looks dated now, of course, but I kind of love that era of graphics where it's like advanced enough to give the feeling of realism, but not advanced enough to not look like a video game, you know? Like, I don't know. I don't like it when it's too real, honestly. I'm impressed and I like it, but I kind of like the dumb like early 2000s, like these guys that are always moving. I'm not saying the graphics nowadays don't look like video games, but you know, you get it. Anyways. So it's got a story, this Big Red One, whatever. It's got a crazy cast of voice actors. It's got Luke Skywalker himself
Oh, what?
and some actors. I don't know if you remember Band Brothers.
I know of it, but I don't know who's
Yeah,
in
that
it.
was a big, you know, HBO show. The story was fine, I'm telling you, back especially back then, these stories like nobody cared at all. Like they
Yeah.
were like it's just walk around and shoot. I'm sure when I play it on Thanksgiving, I'll pay more attention to the story and I'll be like, yeah, that's cool, I don't care. But I will be living this actual snack segment. It's gonna be fantastic. Not
Amazing.
the tacos yet, because that's usually the next day. It'll be the plate. It'll be the night plate. So I'm excited to recreate, you know, my time in college, air quotes. I'm gonna ascend to be a true snacks god. Maybe I'll give a one sentence review when we get back from the holidays.
Yes, please do.
I was fooled. I fell asleep before I pressed start.
Oh no, that would be hilarious and
Like to
unfortunate.
play it. I'd like to review it, but I didn't see it. Fine.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm talking like a king.
I know, I don't know.
But Danelle, your thoughts overall on the snack spelled with an X segment.
I like both. I love this story. I like how sentimental it is for you. That's so I think it's wonderful.
Awesome. And I like talking about me. Well, it all
Course,
works
you're a
out.
Leo.
I am a Leo. It's the best. It's the best star sign or whatever. It's the only star sign. Some say the
Oh.
greatest. Sorry. Anyways. All right. Well, we are ready to move on to our Rapido Fire segment, which is also another one of our favorite segments. Danelle reviews games. I don't know if we, you know, since it's rapid fire, I don't think we need the awkward heavy metal guitar for this one. It's fine. Having Danelle make up her own game and then give her own review is yesterday's news. It will be the future news at some point as well, because we'll probably do it again. But today we're combining both. And so I've given you some homework, Danelle. I didn't give you a lot of instructions, I guess. That's fine. That's even better. I give you a list full of war games to review based on whatever. However you do it. YouTube videos, if you remember it. Whatever. However you get your information. You probably didn't play them. We'll see, actually. I don't know. And then you'll give your short review and you'll rate it. You don't have to make up any game designs today. You just... I'll be like, title, and you'd be like, ah, blah, 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 boo, 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 bang, rating. Moving on. Yep. So hopefully you haven't played any of them, because that...
I have not played it. Maybe the last one, because I don't know. Well, as soon as I saw it, I was like, I know that one.
I had a feeling that maybe that could have been the one. Okay, that's good. Bonus points if you forget that you talked about these games in the future as well. I keep a... log of bonus points that you acquire throughout all these shows, and on Sunday you might win a prize.
Wow.
Like this Sierra Nevada coaster.
Oh, thanks. I do collect coasters, actually.
There you go. I have
when I go to breweries, or you know, when I go to places, this one is actually like chipping away, and I'm kind of upset about it, but it's the Mountain View Art and Wine Festival from 2015.
Okay, that's worth some money, I bet.
And so yeah, but it's like, but of course, because it's paper. So as I've been using it, it's like getting wet. But yeah, it has
Tide
like,
House.
It was sponsored by the Tide House on the back. But I collect these from almost everywhere that I go, just because I'm a stickler for, like, especially since I have wooden tables, I'm a stickler. Now that I'm older, I used to not care about, get your, you know, drinks off my coffee table when I was younger kind of person. Right. Now I get it. I spent hard money on my...
We'll throw coasters when people, like, so if they don't have...
Yeah, I have three coasters on my coffee table, and then I have, like, two on my computer desk, and I'm a big stickler for coasters now. I probably have 10, 15 coasters, not of these, but I have just other regular, random, like, real ones, but...
Right.
Anyways, it's funny that you would show me that. I would totally take that coaster.
I'm definitely going to give you one now. I have a ton of Sierra Nevada ones. It's you know what? Sierra Nevada, please. If that's the sponsor we got, oh my God. If we got Sierra Nevada, Trader Joe's, and Game Pass, like, I mean, we wouldn't even need to make money. We'd just get free of all those things.
I know.
Like, oh my God. I would be set. I don't know about Jeff, but Trader Joe's beer and games.
He's all man.
Yeah.
Who on you?
Yeah, exactly. All right.
So they are pretty short.
Okay.
Reviews.
Perfect. All right. So let's start with the first one, which is Rambo for the NES. Hilarious.
I didn't even know they made this game, but it makes sense. It was so popular. But I mean, my first thing was, I was like, come on. I mean, Stallone, Rambo. I mean, so cool. So cool.
Yeah.
And I saw one of the pictures of him, and it looked just like him. But that was, like, in the cutscene or in, I don't know where the art came from, because I was re-watching it, and it looks nothing like him in-game. But this graphics are so old for this game.
Oh, yeah. They're kind of funny, yeah.
They're awful, but that's because it's so old school.
Yeah.
Thing is you're just running around.
Yeah.
Just running around. I was watching, and then, oh my gosh, you're just punching stuff, and it's the same thing, and then you're just punching stuff, and you go to a next round, and you're just, like, punching stuff. To me, I was like, how boring. I don't know. It looked pretty boring, but the music, oh my God.
You're
the music.
Wrong. Yes.
The music. Banger. And it reminded me about you talking about Commando. Like, the entire time, this music is just playing, and I mean, it was just the same music, but I was like, this is awesome. I just loved the music. It was so cool. It was so retro. It was just... So that alone, I gave it a 7 out of 10. If it wasn't for the music, I was going to give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
If it wasn't for
not
the music.
Not too harsh, but... Oh,
yeah, but it's because Rambo. I mean, to me, he just has a special place in my heart. That's my childhood. Stallone and Rambo. The game looked awful, though. It looked boring. But...
Most games like that at the time were.
I know. I'm kind of judging basing now instead of like how I should have been basing it based on when it came out, I guess. But that's how I'm reviewing it, so.
Yeah. You know, companies would be like, oh, we need to make a Rambo game. Do you have like that one game you were working on where the guy was running around and punching stuff? We're like, yeah, we could slap a bandana on it and call it Rambo, right? So Probably. It was that easy back then.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. The next one.
Yep.
Great review, by the way. The next one was... something that I loved as a kid. General Chaos from Sega Genesis. I loved it as a kid. I will let you do re your review and then I'll finish that sentence.
So I'm just going to start off by saying I didn't even realize at first what our entire show was going to be about until I started reading what games I had to review. And then
Right.
I was like, oh, these are not my genre of games. I do not play these kind of games, except for
Yeah.
like maybe Sniper Elite,
Right.
because I said I do like those kinds of games, but I do not like war games. I do not like these kinds. This is so, first of all, as soon as I started looking into this, I was like, this is not my genre at all.
Yeah.
And what is it? I did like the way the soldiers looked, though.
Yeah.
I thought they looked kind of cool. And it does seem really funny, fun, and chaotic, though, because that's basically the whole point. Is like, I guess when I was watching, they're just kind of like, you have one side and there's another side, and you guys just go at it, and it's kind of like
Yeah.
chaos. And so I thought that was
General
kind of,
chaos.
yes, and I thought that was actually kind of funny. But not my game at all. So I gave it a 5 out of 10. I'm sorry, Mikey.
No, it's okay. I rented it once, I remember, with Michael Gonzalez on a weekend sleepover. We were
You
like,
and
let's
your
get General
name.
Chaos. And we like loved it that weekend and it was fun. And like, yeah, so you can control like everyone. It's like really hard to control. The controls are
That's what I was seeing too. Yeah,
really lame.
you gotta move them and then they move there, or like at the point of
Yeah.
cursor, or unless you're the two commandos, they said you can like be those two guys and they walk around
Right.
freely.
I don't quite remember, but yeah, it's a pain in the ass to control. And
Yeah.
I was doing some, again, when I was in college, I was doing some like side work for a buddy, like helping him build a website or something. I can't remember what it was exactly. Helping him with like odds and ends. And he
Yeah.
wanted to like pay me like in a unique way. And we were talking about, I think, General Chaos. I had brought it up. We were talking about Genesis and stuff like that. So he did give me some money, but he also on eBay got me a Sega Genesis and General Chaos and like a bunch of other games. I was like, whoa. And I took it home and I played it. And I was like, oh, this game sucked. Like, I loved it when I was a kid that weekend. It was the only time I played it. But I loved that I had it. You know, I still played it. And I was like, this game sucks, but I'm going to play it because it's,
Sure.
you know, what it is what it
It's
is. But
sentimental to you.
yeah, I like sentimentals.
I completely understand.
Yeah. The next game that I'm not sentimental about, but I certainly always saw it at Blockbuster Video, is North and South for the NES.
Once again, loved the music. Oh
Yeah.
my gosh. I don't know what it is about these war games, I guess. Like, I don't like playing them, but they have awesome music. I don't know what it is
It
about these
pumps you
soundtracks in
up.
these games, but I was like jamming to the music. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. The graphics, oh Lord, that
Right.
was just so awful. Like, it was terrible. There's nothing on the screen hardly. It was like just
Yeah,
like
it's crazy.
it was like bare minimum, and like it was so far away, and all those tiny little horses or something. I don't know. It was like it was. I was like, how can you even see what's going on? Although I was watching a video. I'm sure if you're playing on a screen, it looked different, but it just looked like it looked terrible. I did think it was kind of cool though that you can kind of like pick the year that you could play, because it's like all different years. Although I don't know, I just thought that was kind of cool. And then I guess you can like, I don't know if you can pick who you're gonna fight, because the guy chose an Indian, and then so like in the beginning he chose like an Indian, and then like lightning, and then like a ship or something. I don't even know
Oh, okay.
what he was
He's
even like.
setting up the parameters of the
Yeah,
battle or
which I don't
something.
even know what that even meant, but I do like that you can like pick that kind of stuff, I guess. So
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of cool. 4 out of 10, no way.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I have also never played it. I remember seeing the cover all the time. The cover is like really cool.
Oh.
But for the videos I've seen of it's definitely like a historian nerd,
For
like
sure.
you know, people who like Risk or like wargaming, like I
Oh,
mentioned,
I
like
could see that.
tabletop gaming, very
Not
strategic.
yep.
I would totally, if I saw it at the retro store and it was cheap enough, I would buy it and try it. But I'd probably be like,
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, that was not for me at all.
Yeah, well, it's the old stuff isn't grabbing you. So let's go to not as old. Army Men. Did I list a specific one? I think I
Yeah, for
did. Army Men
PS1,
World
World
War for the
War.
PS1.
Yeah. And once again, I was like, music, yes.
Yes.
And the film reel opening was awesome. It was so old timey, like on like the old school like radios, and, like crackling in the background, and like I loved it. The opening reel kind of caught me, and I was like, "Oh, this is cool. This is gonna be cool." I really loved the old war timey like feel in the beginning of it, and then it was kind of funny because as I was watching it, I was like, "Oh, those look like those lingo. Those look like the green army men that everyone has that you play with."
Right.
And I was like, oh, wait, I think that's what this is. It's the army men, the green army men. And I was like, oh, so it was really cool because those green army men, I mean, classic from the childhood. Yeah. I didn't own them, but I mean, everyone, we see them, you know them.
Stepped
I thought it was
them.
Really cool that they actually made a game of them.
Yeah.
But so much running around. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, and the thing I was watching too is, I guess it's like a hide, like you're supposed to like sneak around the entire time and like get to your objective at the end or kill something at the end. I don't really remember now, but there was nothing. There was no enemies. They're just like sneaking around the entire time, just shooting stuff and sneaking around and running. And it looks so boring.
Right.
So boring. I actually gave this one lower. I only gave it a 3 out of 10.
Oh my goodness. I wasn't expecting that.
I was boring. Oh my gosh. I kept scrolling through this video and he's just running around and he's just running around and there was nothing popping up at him and there was no enemies. I was like, this is just, he got to the end and I'm like, that was it?
Right. Not even the old time radio voice could save this one, it sounds like.
No, that was it. That's where the 3 came from.
Otherwise it'd be 0. Nice. Yeah, I remember playing these games once in a while, like renting them. There was a bunch of Army Men or whatever. Yeah, or Army Men games. And, some were like better than others, but most of them were like, they were fine. It was a great concept.
Yeah, you know, could have done so much more.
Maybe like a product of the time where it's like, hey, let's get this game out quickly. Maybe some were better than others or worked on more than others. But not great. Cute looking and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it gets a Christopher Walken from me, which is a fine.
Perfect.
Perfect. All right, our last game of this segment, and Danelle maybe has played this one, so let's see what you think of Sniper Elite 3. I put Xbox One, but, you know, that era.
Yeah. I loved the opening cutscene for this one, too. The guy's voice was so cool. I love the X-ray kill cam in this game. Oh, my gosh, that is so cool when it shows the bullet. And then whatever you're, like, going towards and killing. And then, man, and then it shows you, like, the body inside exploding, like, headshot. It shows you the skull. And then, like, or if you, like, it was, like, lung shot. Like, it was so particular, like, the area that you hit in the body. So cool. I think that was, like, my favorite thing about the game was, like, the kill cam. But I love, I mean, I guess I am basing it again on how newer it is. Because, I mean, the graphics, the world, I mean, the open world, and just... all, you know, it's, I mean, all the maps and everything you can do. There's just so much. I mean, the graphics are just so much better. I actually, when I would play Battlefield or Medal of Honor, I actually did like to play Sniper more than anything.
Oh, you
that
son
is,
of a...
I know. I was the one that liked to go hole up somewhere. And like,
camper. You're a camper.
Yeah, camper and like snipe people. I know. I hear people like rockets and snipers are the two that everyone hates in video games.
Of course.
And I like both because, one, if I didn't have any aim or accuracy, the rocket will just get everybody in sight.
Yeah.
And then the sniper, you're, like, cheating somewhere, just sniping people. But
you got to be good still. You still, you know, you got to be quick.
I know. Yeah. Because to me, it was less chaotic, you know, than running around, like you said, seeing people and just shooting and killing things. If you're a sniper, you're, like, on your own, away from everyone. And you can just kind of, like, strategically kill people. So I guess I'm biased because that was my favorite. Weapon to use anyway. So I gave it an 8 out of 10.
Ooh, nice. The kill cam thing is like their gimmick. Like that, you know, there's like 5 or 6 of these games now.
Yeah.
And they get more and more gross and ridiculous. Yeah. And it's also, I think all of them are World War II based, but 3 was the one where you kill a certain someone, a real historical figure that was known for World War II. We don't even say his name here at Double Shift, but you know.
Oh.
And people love that. And there's so many videos of the different, like, things exploding and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I could see that.
So that was really popular. The game's really hard, though. It's like a stealth game.
Yeah. You know,
so it's like one of those things where it's like there's enemies everywhere, and then if you get caught, I think you can gunfight your way out of it, but it's like super hard. And so very methodical, but yeah.
Stealthy games are not my jam either. What was it, Metal Gear? You had to like, that game all drove me nuts. I can't, because I just want to run around everywhere like really fast, and you have to like sneak and hide and wait. I can't do it. Those games are not for me at all. I don't have the patience.
Yeah, no, it's definitely
it's fun, and I know how popular they are, and it's a great game, and this game is great too, like that. But I just can't. Yeah. I just don't have the patience for that.
Yeah, it does require patience for sure. Well, bravo, Danelle. Excellent job. You did your homework. You had fun. You were walking around. Jeff's even clapping. You can't hear
all of this. Too much walking around.
yeah. So listen up, game designers. If you want Danelle, who, by the way, her game reviews have helped ship millions, if not billions, of copies thus far. If you want a fantastic review from Danelle that will help your sales in the future, don't put too much walking around, all right? Just a little walking around.
Yeah, you're here, see?
Yeah, see? Yeah. All right, Danelle, it's time to ask that question that I always ask. What have you learned today?
I don't like war games.
Yeah. That's okay. Fair enough. Do you not like Thanksgiving? Really. How do you feel about Thanksgiving? Are you like, yeah, Thanksgiving? You're like, yeah, Thanksgiving's fine. It's all about Christmas.
No, well, I think I like them both equally because they're so different. Okay. For me, Thanksgiving's all about the food.
Yeah.
And then Christmas, I wouldn't say it's about the presents, but it's about the giving. It's about like the exchanging of. I love buying people things, and I love knowing what people like, and then seeing the excitement when they're like, oh, I wanted this, or, you know, so the exchanging of gifts is like my favorite. So they're completely different. I mean, I sit around all day long for Thanksgiving, waiting for the food. I could smell it cooking all day long. And so excited. And it's the one time a year, like I only eat like a whole turkey we eat ground.
Yeah, turkey, I know what you mean. Yeah.
But I don't eat turkey. That's the only time. We don't do turkey for Thanksgiving or for Christmas.
Neither do we.
We do ham for Christmas or every rarely prime rib. Ooh. But it's the only time of year that I have turkey, like cranberry sauce, like all this stuff I only ever have on Thanksgiving. I don't eat it any other time of the year. Of course, mashed potatoes I eat throughout the year, but
daily.
Green bean casserole I don't, and you know, all the other stuff. I love Thanksgiving. I'm so excited for it. I get to go spend a couple days with my mom. So
yeah, it's perfect. It is perfect.
Perfect.
Well, yeah, fantastic. No war games for Danelle on Thanksgiving, but food. And to all of our
but
Double
food.
Zip fans. Yeah, but Jeff, where's that sound? what should we call it? We should come up with a name for our Double Zip fans. You know how like Lady Gaga has the little monsters and all that stuff? We need a name for our Double Zip fans. But hey, to all of our Double Zip fans, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you enjoy some war games if you like them. If you don't, then don't play them. But I hope you enjoy some food and all that kind of stuff, and you're warm and all that good and mushy stuff. Before we get to our last segment, which I'll check in with Jeff in a minute to see if we have time for it. Yes, happy holidays from us. We will see you one more time for our end of year Double Shift special. And again, we need to figure out what that's going to be. I don't even remember what Danelle said in the beginning, so I have to go back and listen.
I'm sure Christmas.
She doesn't. Oh yeah, you did say Christmas. That's true. That's not fair. Oh yeah, N64. Anyways, Jeff, if we have time, I would like to talk a little bit about our main topic, how you can actually get your FCC license so you can operate a ham radio. Did we have any time for that? Oh, I was about to give websites and resources and all that kind of stuff. Listen, you can listen on a ham radio, but you can't transmit without this license, so it was really important. But Jeff's telling me that we have to go. The music means that we have to go. So it's time to say goodbye, Danelle.
Goodbye, Danelle.
And we will leave you with our Double Shift toast on our ham radio.
May your gear score be heavy and your backlog be light. May your connection be strong and your aim precision tight. May your Joy-Cons be as mighty as the ocean, but never should they drift. For all you QA pirates out there in Radio Land, you'll survive your Double Shift!
Yarr.
Sayonara!
Roll.
Yeah, pearls. Excuse me.